This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. Fuck boy. Brrrah. Holy shit, I haven't done that in a while. I am already lightheaded. I pre-recorded a bunch of episodes because I was traveling, but I'm back in the studio, back with my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout-out. Artie chowing down on his fox. That is, of course, not a euphemism. He is eating a toy fox. And joining me in the studio, first-time guest, I've been on her podcast. I've been on her live show. I've won her live show, which is something I haven't said about someone. I guess I haven't. Now I'm stoned. I'm like, what is that phrasing? Guys, put your hands together for podcast host, live show host, comedian, storyteller, producer, all of the above, Christine Blackburn.
Yay.
Welcome to the High and Mighty Studios.
I brought some lemon skunk, which I forgot to bring in.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get to that. And yeah, again, that is not a euphemism. That is Artie's chowing down on Fox. Christine brought lemon skunk, but those are not euphemisms. That is a strain of marijuana. Right?
Yeah, it's okay. A sativa.
Oh, I love a good... This is a... San Fernando Valley OG, SFV OG.
Never heard of it.
It's pretty good. It's a little, Henry's Original. I'll shout out whoever I'm blazing that week. Henry's Original. It's SFVOG. Oh, I was wrong. Yeah, SFVOG. It's a sativa.
And these are pre-rolled, which I love how, you know, efficient they are. Do you ever roll your own?
Here's one thing I can't do is roll a joint. I'm humiliated that I can't. I've been smoking weed now nonstop for 10 years and I can't roll a fucking joint.
Yeah.
And because I moved to California and never had to learn, because you can buy joints already made.
Right. Well, I even bought like a joint roller. It's like this little piece of plastic and it has like this little canvas in between like a trampoline and you sprinkle the weed in there and then you do this little crank.
I've seen it and thought that I should get that.
Yeah, but I can't even operate that. I mean, okay, it's hard.
I buy the cones and we'll drop the weed in, like the kind that comes with a filter. Right. Or I have some here that are,
It looks more like a blunt, really.
Yeah, I have some that look, and then I have these that are like palm leaf.
Oh, those are cute.
And I'll just load those up with some grass, and that's a delight. And I managed to make a big, this is my weed drawer.
Yeah, I was going to say, Gabrus has a file cabinet of weed, which I think is efficient.
I do have it sort of organized. Top tier is, you know, stuff I need to blaze. Then underneath is all my cones, and here we got some raw cones. This is, by the way, this is my episode of Cribs.
Yeah, interesting.
And this is literally where the magic happens, the High and Mighty studio. Also, I fuck my wife on top of this little filing cabinet.
Mm. And what were you smoking then?
I was smoking Cialis.
No, it's interesting because a lot of people, like, I don't know, I keep my weed in the kitchen more like a spice cabinet thing.
Yes, I have only one space that is for me in this house, and you're in it, the High and Mighty studio.
Yeah.
So all of my possessions are in here, more or less.
Yeah, I think that's nice to have, isn't it?
It's huge for me, and also for my wife, who's very aesthetically minded and doesn't probably want a vintage map of Long Island up in the house.
No, I think this is a great room. This is like being in, you know, Marc Maron's garage or something. Yeah. I haven't been in that garage, but I'm saying, you know, it would be, you know, it's your space.
Yeah, this
is my
space.
It looks like you, and that's your weed file cabinet.
This is my weed file cabinet.
Yes.
Here's my books. Here's my, what else do I have in here? A pile of clean laundry, as I've been openly defensive about.
Arthur is here, and there's more foxes on the... Yeah. Is this a fox theme going on for you?
My wife's a big fan of foxes as an animal. Yes.
Interesting.
I think a lot of white women in their 30s are fans of foxes because they're like aesthetically cute. They're in like owls and foxes and like those kind of like autumnal animals get a lot of play.
But I think
like
that's when they're 12 and 13.
I think it doesn't change. Hey, Artie.
Artie is licking my arm, which is kind of, I don't know. It's weirdly interesting.
Yeah, no, he will lick any guest if you have lotion, sweat.
Yeah.
If you spilled meat on it a month ago, he'll find it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
My cat has, of course, a really rough tongue.
Yes.
And she licks me from time to time, but the tongue is smaller.
Right. And Artie's got big jowls and a big tongue, and it's wet. If
There's
you're a cat
lot
person.
Happening. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little nasty.
It's okay. He's just has a lot going on in his nasal passages.
He's a disgusting critter. I can't explain it. As we say, he's a young, nasty man, the youngest, nastiest critter that ever lived.
Well,
right, Cheech?
I love him. And how old is he anyway?
He's 9 now. He's a little bit of an old man.
This is the kind of dog where you could tell me this dog is 2, 7, 14,
right.
31, and he really is, and I'd say, okay.
Well, you know, it's a size thing. Artie, knock it off, bud. Stop licking Christine. That goes for both of us.
Dirty.
Artie, you're being a nasty
man.
No, I know, but he's doing it to be friendly, but...
Yeah.
He will not.
That's
stop.
Usually when people do it. You know what I mean?
You're not aggressively licking someone to show your disdain for them.
No.
Yeah, Artie, it's because he's little. That's how I was for a long time. People shorter than me, I could never tell how old they were.
Yeah, interesting. It's okay, honestly.
No,
John,
it's okay. No, because he also should listen to me eventually.
Oh, now there was good. You snapped and he jumped he off knows. The couch.
Yeah, he knows.
And he's going for his fox.
Yeah, he's got a bone over here too. We can go for anything. We're so distracted early on. This is why having a dog is great when you're alone and high, but when you're trying to do work and high, I'm like immediately like laying on the floor playing with him.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey man, do you want some chicken skin? I'm about to go have some chicken. Do you want some skin? And he gets it. But we were planning on talking about being in our prime, because that's something that I've been thinking about more and more lately.
Yeah.
Like, because you don't know what your prime is until after the fact. Because depending, I know everyone will always say, like, you just associate the younger you are, the more you're in your prime. But it all depends on what your goals. This is a big, long thought
I was
going on.
No, I'm totally on this.
It all depends on what your goals are in life. Because if you want to be the best basketball player there ever was, yes, maybe youth is paramount. But if you want to be artistic in some way, age and experience is helpful, you know, or maybe you don't even know what you really want to be good at or have fun with. Like, because I love to travel, and I feel like when I get older, I'll be like, the prime of my life was when I was probably traveling the most, and that'll be in my
30s. Yeah.
not the traditional, quote unquote, prime.
It's really refreshing that you said that about, you know, people that are getting older and have more experience for a couple of reasons. Number one, I happen to really love old people, as it were. Like,
yes.
I play tennis with a guy who's 82, a guy who's 81, a guy who's 78. Like, I play... You know, and they're my
friends.
I
love old people in doses so much.
Yeah, so do I.
They get a little frustrating.
But also now that I am old, it is super
refreshing.
Well, you
play tennis with the 82-year-old, then you go, and now that I'm old, makes it sound like you're 81.
I mean, I'm not that old, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, I definitely think as you get older that I feel closer to in my prime, though I'm not quite there. And when I hear people say things like, you know, the good old days, when I used to, you know, and that was back in the good old days, and I think... I don't even know what the good old days would be because I don't think I had them yet. I mean, I've had good times.
Right. And but you're progressing.
Yeah, I'm always progressing.
Well,
like,
that's
the thing.
If you're getting better, like, because maybe I was in great shape when I was 22 to 25, but maybe I'll be in great shape again from 41 to 44.
Of course.
Like, physically, healthy wise. And then, like, when was my prime, really?
Yeah.
If I'm enjoying it more because I'm in my 40s and working hard for it, and is that not my prime then?
Yeah, I feel like I'm hitting my prime. But then I do think there were other points in my life when I thought I was in my prime, but looking back, I wasn't.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, because I also think what you value, what you're looking at as prime meaning like the top, the best of, I think what you consider, what you're keeping in mind in that at that moment changes as you get older too. Because I thought I was so cool when I was 25, but when I was 35, I was like, I can't believe I acted like that when I was 25. But when I was 25, it was fun and it
Age
was really
appropriate.
Great. And I thought, but I also thought to myself, I'm in my prime. Then I was like, oh, I was so dumb. I didn't care about reading and shit like that. And then when you get like, you change and you're like, oh, I wasn't the best version of myself then because I'm so much better now.
Right. But with the tools that you had, you might have been doing the best that you could.
Right. But that wouldn't make it my prime then. Right? Because if I improve...
Okay, so Serena Williams, as she keeps... Well, she just lost the other day, you know, but...
I know.
But you know, she's dominated so much. And she says, as she gets older, when she sees the finish line, she says, you don't slow down, you speed up. And I've definitely felt that.
Oh, interesting. Oh, okay. So you mean...
Like in
my head,
as
I'm
I
thinking
older.
Real during races. But we're talking metaphorically. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could see that. Well, I think part of it is... You get a healthy dose of mortality once you're a certain age where you're like, a parent dies, peers pass away, peers have severe health things that you only used to associate with old people. And then you realize you are old people. Like right. you have kids or all your friends have kids and you're like, holy shit, I'm not old. But when I, if you asked me fucking 10 years ago, if I thought 36 was old, I would have told you, yes, that is old. And now I don't feel old at all. And I'm not saying that because of present company, Arthur. What I'm saying that is because I feel better and I feel like I can get even healthier. And then when
you can.
I mean, I obviously visibly can. But like, I could be in better shape when I'm 40 than when I'm 36.
But, you know what? I think especially with men, a lot of men hit their stride at like 45. Like that's almost like the most handsome. Men seem to keep, in my opinion, and I've dated a lot of men, it seems like they get better looking and better looking and better looking. And they're also generally accomplishing into their mid-40s.
Right.
Then they hit what they call, well, they used to call middle-age crisis. I don't know. You know, that used to be like a term.
A midlife crisis.
A midlife crisis. Like my dad literally hit midlife crisis, you know, left our family, bought the red convertible, moved out with his tennis partner. I mean, I'm just saying it's, so, but that still happens today, even though 45 and 50-year-olds that we know dress like boys, act like kids.
Yeah.
There's still that psyche of hitting that age.
I will say we should have put a little like disclaimer that living in Los Angeles, men go through their midlife crisis at like 70 here, because at 50 they're like in like you know, cool streetwear.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. They hit their stride about 45.
Yeah, I think in LA it's a little different too, because there's like that weird like adult man that you can't tell if he's married or single, but he definitely spends a lot of money and time on himself somehow.
Yeah.
And you're like, how, what is your life? I mean, because there are wealthy people out here and there are wealthy people who have tons of free time out here. Yeah. There just has to be.
The worst thing about those kinds of guys, if I see them and they look, you know, the clothes look amazing, come up in this great car, they're super handsome, great haircut, great smile, great eyes, good eye contact, speak well, funny, you know, all these wonderful things. And then you look, or they touch you and their hands are like a dead fish, you know? Yeah. Like they're white and they're pasty and they have never held, you know, they haven't ever even like held, let alone a hammer. They haven't held a pen. They haven't like potted a plant, or they haven't, right. You know what I mean? They haven't like weeded a garden. Or
they have like
that is such a turn
weird
off.
Hands.
Yeah, and they probably get manicures more than me, and that's like,
that's a little much for you. Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you're in your prime yet, or do you feel like your prime is about to arrive?
I would like to think it's about to arrive. I thought it really would. I thought it would happen when I turned 50 a couple years ago.
What?
And that's why I took that picture. You know, that picture.
The picture she's referring to is from her flyer for her new one-woman show, Surviving the Ride. And it's, you'll find it, but it's her fully nude on the back of a motorcycle. Yeah. But tasteful.
Tasteful. Nothing.
Well, you're not fully nude. You are wearing a scarf.
I'm wearing a scarf. Right. I remember when I was working out the details of that photo shoot with the guy that was driving the bike, who I used to go out with. He said, "Well, you're going to wear like panties or a thong or something, right?" And I go, "What do you think, I'm a slut? No. Why would I wear? That's gross. That's like, bleh, you know, nothing." But anyway, so maybe I would think, oh, well, look at that photo. That would be like, I guess I would look at that photo and think like, well, that was probably my prime.
Right. But when
but
we say
I,
prime,
see,
do we
physical.
Say?
Cause, I know cause, that's a physical thing. And if we're really going to go physical, then of course it was when I was 22.
Right.
You know what
but
I mean?
Maybe we should redefine prime, because prime is, people think, oh, that's physical.
Hotness. Yeah.
Yeah. Hotness or physical capabilities, whether they be sexual or athletic, or, you know, like I used to be able to stay up for 4 days partying and then blah, blah. So is it physical? If it's not, then what does the prime mean? Does it mean you're living your best life? Are you enjoying it the most, or are you succeeding the most, or do those go hand in hand?
To me, it means that your needs are being met. And so that's, you know, physical and monetarily, but then it's also, you know, are you accomplishing what you set out to do? Do you feel inner success? I mean, because success is really about inner peace. Like, are you at peace with what you're doing? And, you know, Now I'm going to drop a name, but seriously, I got to talk to Larry King last week, and I had him on my eighth anniversary show. And
I'm going to drop a name.
Yeah, I'm dropping
a
little plug for my podcast. And that's well, I meant to say that too. I'm going to do both. And my new one woman show. And anyway, no. So Larry King said, you know, I said something to him about, you know, how life is really about, it's divided into three things: work, play, and love. And I said, and I know you have love because he's married this, you know, beautiful woman, has five great kids, and I know you have work, but what do you do for play? You know, and I know that he watches baseball and stuff. But anyway, I asked him, and he goes, I don't consider it work. You know what I mean? So his job, he doesn't consider work.
Like
so
the expression, enjoy what you do and you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good expression. You should put that on a pillow or something.
I have it on a few throw pillows around my house. I also have don't postpone joy.
Yeah. And I see the live, laugh, learn.
Live, laugh, learn. F is for family.
Yeah. And hang in there, baby.
Yeah.
That's classy.
Oh, that's just me.
I like that one. Hi, Pee-Pee.
I also have... Even heroes have egos, and it's Plastic Man, Reed Richards, and someone else from the comic world. All stretchy characters have their penises stretched out in a bathroom.
Enormous penises. Who did that?
My mom bought that at a psychological hospital, a psych hospital.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, they let the patients sell their artwork in the lobby, and the money goes to charity or to something like that.
But your mom got you artwork with penises.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's honestly, and this is like more of a conversation for therapy, but it's like the one thing my mom's ever gotten me that was like... In my taste, like she demonstrated
for you.
She demonstrated that she understood me as a person.
Yep,
and that was the one gift in 36 years.
Yeah. But that's beautiful. Oh, yeah, but at least you have something and you see it and it reminds you of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because definitely she would have looked at that and thought, that's my son.
That's my son, a huge hog.
A huge cock.
Famously as a huge cock.
Even heroes have egos.
Yeah. And they're all just measuring their penises. I don't know. My brother has one of Hulk on the toilet in his bathroom.
Oh, my gosh. Your mom got him that?
My mom got him from the same artist.
So she's same patient. Sense of humor.
She has a bit of a sense of humor. She's goofy.
More than your dad, or your dad had more?
They're both really funny. My mom could laugh more. My dad was more serious, but super funny and sarcastic and mean, but like funny mean. And then my mom is like goofy and can laugh at herself.
Yeah.
And like silly and... confident.
That's
so I have
nice.
Like a little bit of both of those worlds.
Did your mom work when you were growing up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was a dentist assistant and then a nurse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
Yeah. It was nice for financial reasons, but we were home alone all the time, which is not a big deal.
Right. But see, like in my, because I'm like a generation ahead of you, as it were, so my mom didn't work. You know, she was a homemaker.
Right.
And she made our clothes by hand for many years. I mean, we were poor, right? So she would add material to the bottom of my pants to make them longer. So as I got taller, I could keep wearing the pants.
Jeez, where'd you grow up?
You could tell how old I was by counting the rings around my pants.
That's crazy.
I was like a tree.
My dad used to tell stories of like, When the new school year started, we didn't get new sneakers. We got baseball cards to put in the holes in our sneakers.
Oof. That's tough.
That's what he used to say. And I don't know if that's like...
Yeah, wow. Yeah. No, it wasn't like that, but it was definitely...
That's like the sad story shit that generation loves.
Yeah, yeah. It, because those people, like my parents grew up in the Depression, or they were born in the Depression, I should say, in the 30s. Yeah. And so, yeah, a lot
of
they
were,
life...
So they were either... Or they were immigrants who came and they were coming from tons of hardship.
Yeah.
So that generation has a lot of...
hardships.
Yeah, and then the first reflection, like, which would be, the generation after that would be sort of like the work is all that matters, make money.
Right, latchkey kids, that was you.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And that was you.
And, like, get your kid to college and let them have a better life than you. Who cares what's happening for the first 22 years?
And they put so much emphasis on college, which turns out, you know.
Oh, I know, because I was, like, the first one to go to college in my family.
It was a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like... I had to go. And like going to college, I mean, this is so like trod territory, but going to college when you're 18, like choosing where to live for 4 years when you're 17 is such an insane choice. I definitely just chose Like my mom made the decision for me, more or less.
Yeah.
And your mom's gonna have different motives in mind. For example, for some reason, all the schools I looked at were 2.5 hours or less away, like drivable. And I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, I guess everyone goes to school in their home state or whatever. Then you're like, I have a friend who's like, I'm going to go to North Carolina. I'm like, yeah. Whoa, good idea.
You're going to Chapel
idea.
Hill? Are you kidding
yeah,
me?
Or like
you
my
can
friend,
do that?
My friend went to University of Miami. I'm like, that's brilliant. And I'm like, fuck. Why, you know, I could have gone away or seen another city now that I know about travel. But because I was 17 and I just wanted my mom to stop asking me questions.
Now, check this out. My father, he's okay. My father worked at the university I went to. But so my four older sisters and my brother all went to that university.
Right, because
so
that's the way to get you all in.
I always knew I was going there. So like nobody told me to study for the SATs. I didn't even know what an SAT was. My mom or dad, somebody dropped me off at the school and they said, you're going to take this test. We just have to turn it in. We all knew I was going to get accepted because I was the sixth child. We were all going. We all went to the same school. And so
What school was this?
Duquesne University in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
And they have a basketball team. They were kind of known for that. Right. Anyway.
But so, it's like it's Duquesne, but it's spelled like D-U-Q-U-E-S-N-E.
There's one of those here on the west side.
Is there?
Well, you're not on the west side, but mid. Anyway. it always goes back to traffic in LA, you know? What were we talking about?
Your dad worked at the university, Duquesne.
Exactly.
You ended up going there.
Yeah, so I went there. And
you were
what
the sixth kid. You just like got
in.
SATs.
Oh, so my SATs was like, I scored an 860 on my SATs.
That's bad, right?
Yeah, 860. You get like 400 to write your name on each section.
Right, but it's also the SATs aren't even like an intelligence design. Like it makes no sense that that's part of like why going. It's sort of like. Makes as much sense as like auditioning is what you do to try to get in a movie.
Yeah.
Because like an audition is nothing like shooting on the day.
Yeah, no.
But exactly like an SAT is not like college aptitude or like life aptitude in any way.
Yeah, I mean, but that test was so flipping hard. I still could never pass that test. No way.
But there is no passing and failing, right? It's just like a measure of aptitude. Because I did really well and like look at where I am. We're in the exact same spot.
Well, yeah, but isn't that impressive? I think it means that you were educated in such a way that you actually learned.
Right, maybe.
So you knew more than I did. I'm just saying. I was from the test-taking generation. Good for
you. I think,
in a way, right? That's good.
In a way, that's good. I think like standardized testing really popped off because like this would be the 80s and 90s that I was in school.
Yeah.
And that's when standardized testing was coming out because I knew I was good at tests and thank God or else I wouldn't have gotten through school because I wasn't good at projects or paying attention or working at home.
So what was your SAT score? Do you remember?
It was, I do know what it was, but I'm forgetting.
It doesn't matter.
It's
you just
1330
tell me.
Or 1360,
oh my gosh.
I forget. Yeah.
You guys.
I should
do
have
you
just
know
said 1360
because
that's better. But it's
1360, and then you heard what I said. That is so embarrassing.
No, it shouldn't
I'm
be.
I'm so embarrassed right now.
It shouldn't be because it doesn't matter. First of all, it was. I don't remember, years ago.
Yeah,
don't
weekly
worry.
People ask me about my college transcripts.
I was just like working on a resume with someone and I was like, take your GPA off. And they were like, why? And I'm like, because you're 35.
Oh,
no one talks about your GPA.
So
and it's like,
funny.
But I did so good. And I'm like, I know, but no one cares. No one cares after your first job.
Well, and also, why do you...
No one even cares where you went to school after your first job unless it's like some sort of networking thing.
And it's hard to even... Yeah, it's hard to care. It's just hard to care in general about. Like, do you ever see people that wear their class ring? It's like you're 42, you know, and they're wearing a ring like they peaked at 21. Is that what you're saying? That your prime was 20?
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
It is kind of weird because then you're also, if you're living in the past, like saying your 20 was your prime when you're 41, you're not going to have 40. There's no chance for 42 to be better than 20.
Can't
if
be.
You're constantly looking back.
Because you didn't put it away.
Yeah.
You have to like clear your head of, you try to get some new ideas, like maybe rearrange the furniture.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
You got to rearrange the
Get your weed cabinet into some files
and
make some
out.
Sense out of the world.
Yeah, for fuck's sake. Wait, so what are you saying when you say like...
About the prime?
Yeah. What are you saying when you want to like... What can you do to achieve your prime? Like what for you? You know what? Let's make it even more specific. Let's make it even more micro. For you, Christine, what would you need going on? And it doesn't even have to be specific, but like what would you need going on to be considered in your prime? Feeling good? You know, like what areas are we talking
about? I'm talking about financially and work because I just want to do, which most people want to do, fruitful labor. Do you know what I mean? So I want to work and be happy with what I'm doing and get paid for it.
Right. So that's the dream. A lot of people, unfortunately, don't even get to get, a lot of people do stuff they hate to make that money.
They do. However, they don't mind the compromise because then when they're off and they're just going to be able to rest their mind.
Right, right.
When you're a creative person like you are and like I am, the mind doesn't really turn off, right? So it keeps on going, even if it's sometimes 2 a.m. or 4 a.m. and you're on Twitter or, you know, updating a website, or there's so many little things that we can keep thinking about.
Oh,
and
right.
So I guess for me, being
you can either be off all the time or never have a minute off.
Yeah.
Like, what your brain can do. It's impossible to get.
And I don't necessarily mind that, but I look forward to, and I think I'll be in my prime when I get paid for that, for kind of what I'm already doing,
right,
but on a bigger platform, you know, because both my game show and my podcast are easily transferred into 30-minute shows.
Okay. Now I see why you wanted to come on.
Because of this dog is licking my foot and it is something else.
Artie, you must stop, dude, or else I have to get you out of here.
Do you do this with all the guests, Artie?
He does. No offense to you. I don't want you to feel less special.
I thought it was.
But he's going after you. He's going after you. previously, when you thought you were in your prime, what are you looking back on it now going like, ooh, I could see why.
Okay, well, I was a flight attendant for 7 years. And when I was a flight attendant, I made good money, went wherever I wanted. I traveled to some of the best hotels in the world. I dated a lot of different people. I had a lot of fun. And who wouldn't that be the best world for? And it was a lot of fun. And for many years, I it was good. But why wasn't what that should have been my prime? I mean,
why wasn't it for you? Because you weren't doing
repetitive.
Exactly what you wanted to do.
Well, first of all, it was repetitive. It was customer service. And when you are a flight attendant, what you do on the first day is what you do on the 100th day, is what you do in the 6th year and in the 7th year. It doesn't change.
Oh, I
Coke
see.
Coke or Sprite? Chicken or beef?
Right.
Coke or Sprite? Blanket? Pillow? Headset? Hot
right,
towel?
There's not a lot of variation in that job.
No, and
no,
there's
except
no,
for the
you have
locations,
no control.
But you're on the plane anyway.
Really have, you just have no control because it's all about seniority. And so there's just a certain amount of choices. Anyway, it's a great job. It really is, especially in your 20s. But like being a waiter is a good job too. You know what I mean? Or working down at the tennis courts, or, you know, helping out, you know, working at the beach, or, you know, those are all good jobs.
Yes.
But is it a career? Are you accomplishing anything? Like, are you doing that fruitful labor? Or,
well, it all depends on what your goals are, right? Because for something, like you're saying, someone's like, I like that I get money and I like that I get free, I get a lot of travel perks.
So that's
and that's
perfect.
Enough for me to do until I retire.
I just can't imagine because there's no sense of getting ahead. I could be the best flight attendant in the world, smile, be happy, be this, be that, and just be so good to the company.
But you just know it's...
You are more important than I am because you have one day more seniority and you're the worst flight attendant.
Oh,
so in other words,
be.
There's no... Yeah.
I would be smashing my thick thighs on everybody's elbows as I walked. Tell me some fucking crazy flight attendant
stories.
There
were some smart-ass flight attendants, like my friend Jody, who I went through training with. She quit within a year. She hated it so bad, but we were on a flight together. And some lady's like, you know, ma'am, I have a double seat assignment and that's my seat and there's somebody in there and I had that window. And my friend Jody just looks at her and just goes, bummer, man. You know, and just like, this is just not going to be for me. I can't care.
I couldn't have a job where people constantly complain to me. That would be hard for me because I don't enjoy being complained to all too much.
Yeah.
Despite being married. But tell me some more crazy.
You're so funny.
crazy flight attendant.
Well, you know, it was a really good career for a long time. We would fly.
Would you guys like land? So you fly from Pittsburgh to or wherever to California. You don't fly out till the next day.
Well, yeah, it just depended. You could have a short layover or a long layover. A short layover is 13 hours or less near the airport, and over 13 or 14 hours, you're going into the city. So like 27 hours in San Francisco would be a great layover.
Right.
24 hours in Miami. I mean, any cool city.
Because they put you up somewhere.
Of course, you're in a nice hotel, and in the union rules show that has to be around a certain amount of gyms and things to do, theaters and shopping malls and things like that, restaurants. restaurants.
Oh, that's so, so cool. So you like, so you'll land, you'll be like, we have 27 hours. All right, I'm going to catch 5 hours of sleep. Let's go
right.
and get lunch.
And then you get used to the hotels. You know what I mean? Like, I know we're going to stay in this Westin. Oh, we're going to stay at the, you know, the Sheraton downtown in Chicago.
Yeah,
oh,
let's go to that bar downstairs and then go get burritos.
You get to know all the places. You get to know the best bars in the best cities. Yeah, so it's super fun. No, I think it's well worth people's 3 to 5 years or whatever you, or the rest of your life. God bless you. But for me, it just was, you know, unfulfilling. So that might have been a time when you'd think I'd been in my prime.
Right.
But it wasn't. It really wasn't.
Did you ever have any, catch anyone doing anything weird on a flight?
Yes. Okay, good. Let me tell you some quick, I won't even make them quick.
One
time I saw a couple snorting coke off the tray table and they were in the emergency exit row. Okay. So we used to fly around. This is like, I flew between 89 and 96. This is like a long time ago. I mean, we were barely called flight attendants. We were still sometimes called stewardesses. We still wore, you know, crazy bows around our necks. And, you know, we had to have high heels
weird
on.
Little hats and
high
shit.
Heels on. We didn't have hats, but we had to have high heels on at all times, unless we were serving and it was over 10,000 feet. Then we had to have on a serving garment and a certain name tag. And it was very, very regimented. Very much uniform. It's very much uniform. It was just very important. Also, our hair, nail polish, makeup, navy pantyhose, padded beige bras, earrings less than a quarter in size.
Oh, they were so like...
Like a Disney almost kind of a thing. This was the uniform. And when you became a flight attendant, you got a wardrobe of things. You did pay for it over like a 3-year period. They take money out of your paycheck. But in your wardrobe would be like, you know, a double pleated pant or, you know, double breasted blazer, single breasted blazer, summer dress, winter dress, 2 skirts, pleated pants, flat, you know, whatever. And then...
it's like,
you know,
being a soldier.
You have to wear these eight shirts, and these are the ties, and this is the raincoat, this is the winter coat, this is the umbrella, these are the gloves. So, I mean, it was way, way uniform. You know, it was very important. Okay, but let me get back to the couple snorting coke on the tray table. So what I was going to say is back then, we flew around frequently with not that many people on the plane. You know, we flew around with 15 people on the plane.
With a bunch of empty seats,
20
right?
people on the plane. Oh, yeah, empty seats all the time, because often in the airline industry, you know, of course, it's about getting the planes in positions. And so whether anybody's going to Kansas City, this plane needs to be there to go to the next, on the next leg, et cetera. So we flew around frequently with very few people. So on this particular day, there were only like maybe 20 people on the plane. And anyway, this couple is doing snorting coke. So I go to the cockpit and I say to the pilots, hey, you guys, you know.
And it's Denzel Washington from Flight.
Yeah, that's
he's
right.
Like, who's doing Coco
that's
Puffs?
Right. That's right. Surely you're mistaken. And I said, quit calling me Shirley. But no. But I had a cockpit key. You go into the cockpit and they don't think they have that anymore. But when I was a flight attendant, you did. And so you go into the cockpit and I say, you guys, these guys are snorting coke on the tray table. And the pilot says, okay, well, what do you want to do? And I said, I don't know. I mean, what do you mean? What do I want to do? And he goes, well, do you want to take the delay? And I'm like, what? And he goes, when we land in Miami, wherever we were going, do you want to take the delay? And
I someone go, was doing coke on a flight to Miami.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
so...
Right?
On the nose, pun
and so,
intended.
Exactly.
Up the nose.
And so I said, well, no, I don't. And he goes, just tell them to move, you know, have them move their seats. But he was concerned because in the flight attendant world, everything is about the schedule. It really is. In the airline world, I mean. So if there is a delay on the plane, somebody's going to take that. Is the pilot taking the delay? Are the mechanics taking the delay? Is it catering? Is it the gate? Is it the resident? Who is taking the delay?
So they're saying, like, if you want to... Bust these guys for doing coke. The delay goes on your card or
so
whatever.
Forget that, man. I just went back and said, you guys, you just move to another.
Just you can't be in the exit row. We can't trust you in a case of emergency. Yeah. Although I think I'd rather have like a coked up guy trying to open the door. Just like coke strength, screaming, chewing his lips off as he fucking.
When I was in flight attendant training, they were so into the uniform, like I was saying, that one time during training, they were showing, it was like during accident week, which is like shark week, but with airplane accidents. And you go through all the airplane accidents. So we're watching this Air Florida flight that happened in like 1982. It took off from Dulles Airport in DC and it was heading to I forget where, but it crashed onto the bridge over the Potomac River. It crushed 7 cars, killing everybody. And then the airplane teetered on the bridge for a minute and then fell into the Potomac River and sank. There was only the tail cone of the plane sticking out. It was just an absolutely surreal scene. And we're watching this video, like I said, during accident week. There are people standing along the riverbeds. It's about 5 o'clock at night. And people are trying to help these people trying to claw their way out of this icy river. There's maybe, you could see maybe 20 people in the water trying to get out. And
Jesus.
And it was terrible. And everybody was helpless to do anything. It was just, there were ice chunks floating around. The plane isn't even seen. So now helicopters come in and they are dangling this rope down and a flight attendant gets on this rope. Okay. She's one of the five survivors of this whole flipping crash. She's on this rope. She's spinning around in the air, hanging on for dear life. And the instructor stopped the tape, the VHS tape. And she said, you see that? She was wearing her serving garment. And she says, you want to be on national television in your serving garment? See, because you got to wear your blazer on takeoff and landing.
Jesus
Christ. I know.
That's crazy. I think you're like, see, still got the high heels on. That's, make sure.
Yeah.
That's so terrifying.
It was.
Because it always drove me crazy that cops had to wear dress shoes.
Yeah, right?
I was like, why won't they let cops wear like boots that protect them or sneakers that they can run in?
Still.
Why can't they wear like stretch pants that look nice? Because I guess you don't want a bunch of sloppy looking cops. Because they would make you feel like not respected. But like they want, if they have to chase someone, I want them to be able to run.
Two things. I think cop uniforms are very hot. I mean, in general.
Yes.
Like if I were at one of those shows and there were five, you know, and there was like a cowboy and then a cop and a, you know, an Indian chief, I would probably go for the Indian chief.
Are you talking about a YMCA concert?
Yeah, that's exactly right. But maybe.
Village People concert, rather?
That's exactly right. After the Kenny Loggins concert, I would go to. And then I'm old people. That's what I'm saying. But here's the thing. Being flight attendant is a great job for a period of time. But I can't imagine somebody thinking they're in their prime at that.
While you were doing it, like, this could be my prime. But then as
your fun.
But then as your priorities change and then maybe fun isn't all it is, you want to be challenged or you want to be...
You want to feel a little bit
learn
like...
learn or something.
Oh, perhaps, yes, perhaps there's more here to this
life.
Right.
And then when you start to do that, you reevaluate, then you reprioritize.
Exactly.
And then you have a new idea of what prime is.
See? Yeah. That's good.
I hope that I think I have an upcoming physical prime. I don't know why, but I'm feeling very good about this current health kick I'm on. Even
That's
though
exciting.
Listeners of the podcast will know that this happens quarterly.
You look good.
Thank you. Yeah, I've dropped a few lbs and I probably lost like 20 something pounds.
Wow.
And I've been running. I'm going to do a half marathon in November.
Right on, man.
And
that's
something that I never did, even as a young
person.
Which one? So, the Las Vegas half marathon.
Oh, how fun. Is that one of those rock and roll ones where they have like the bands along the way and stuff?
Yes.
That's a blast.
I don't know shit about it, but
we'll
I'm just like,
good time.
I'm excited. And I ran a mile or 2 miles the other day and it hurt like fuck. And then I thought to myself, only 11 more.
What about a 10K? What about considering that?
I don't feel like that's enough of a. I've run 5 or 6 miles in my life back in a long time ago. 13 miles would be like the longest I've ever run in my life.
Because you're talking about running for 2 hours straight, really.
More for me.
So more for maybe 2:15 or something.
I would say it's probably going to be 3 hours for me.
Okay.
Right? That puts me at like.
10 miles an hour.
Four miles an hour. That's like walking.
Yeah. So yeah. No. That's all right. If you do like a 12 minute or even 15 minute mile.
Yeah. That's four miles an hour.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if I do a 15 minute mile, so four.
See how much smarter you are than me. This is why you did so well in the SATs.
I'm just good at doing.
That's
I'm
good.
Just my brain also. Functions at like 85% when I'm stoned. Like I keep math for some reason when I'm high.
Men are generally better at math, I believe, and maps.
Yeah. That might also be something that like is because that we're, like some of our hobbies, some of the more gender normative or you know, like gender biased hobbies are more number and map based, like boys video game. But now that like I think kids are getting to play however they want to play, I think we're going to see that be beaten down.
I don't know about that because you're talking, if you go way back and, you know, you're talking about like thousands of years ago, men needed to have that spatial ability to throw the rock, to hit the bear, to, you know, kill the lion or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they did have different sets of needs.
Right. But now no one needs to throw a rock to hit
I know,
a
but
bear.
I think it's more inbred than just that. I think it is more inbred. Like,
right.
I think it's
but
like
I,
in your
I feel,
DNA.
What I'm saying is you don't think that we can evolve it out because... Once men aren't like every time a new man is born, you're like, here's a rock. Your job is to throw it at predators.
Yeah.
every time we no longer need to throw rocks at predators. Now it's like, here's a rock. Throw it if you want. If you don't want to. Oh, hey, female baby.
I know.
Here's a rock. Throw it. Don't throw it if you want.
I'm just not sure about that because I feel like it's just like gender, right? There's always been homosexual people, heterosexual people, bisexual people, pansexual people. We didn't always talk about them, but they've always been there. So right. there's always something in the person, even if you want to get down to like a child molester. I mean, that's what does it for them, and they're never going to change. And so it's something that is right. that inbred. And I think that masculinity and femininity are that inbred. I don't think it'll be phased out.
Oh, interesting. I think we'll be... My theory is we'll be blurring closer and closer to similar. Like, they'll be less...
It's weird,
I think
man.
People will just present however they... Like, I don't think they'll be... it'll... Like, the traditional viewpoint will matter. I think people will just present themselves however they want. Like, we'll see young women who are into ballet but have short hair and wear a baseball hat. You know, like...
Maybe.
I think it'll just, like... You know, or dudes who have like long hair dudes who wear dresses who also play football. Like, I just think like we're all, I think it's
nice
more than just
see.
Sativa and Indica.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know you're talking about like a perfect world right. and peace and harmony.
Right.
And that
well,
would
I'm
be beautiful
saying,
to see.
Let's aim for that. Hey, the world hasn't hit our prime yet.
Yeah.
America
see?
Hasn't
That's
even
what
hit
I'm
our
saying.
Prime yet.
And we're in this bubble in Los Angeles, which yeah. I like a lot. And, you know, we are able to, our ideas are accepted more. Creativity is treated with a little more respect.
Oh, yeah. You can dress
here.
However you want
yeah,
in LA.
For sure.
You can't dress however you want in New York. You can, but you'll have to hear about it because you have to ride public transit.
Yeah.
Here in LA, you can wear whatever the fuck you want. And in New York, you have to wear something that you can at least still walk in.
Yeah.
In LA, you don't even have to have something you can walk in.
No. A lot of times people just wear like literally, not just flip-flops, but the ones you wear in the shower. People just wear those.
I've seen people wear like the manicure, the pedicure flip-flops, like the paper ones. I've seen women and men both in shoes that clearly are impossible to walk in, but they look wild.
Like hospital shoes.
But you only need to get like a foot from your car door to the restaurant door. So you see these like men and women, like these people like teetering on like two super high heels, like cartoons. And you're like, Jesus Christ, please be safe. And then only in LA, because you get drive right up. You don't even have to park your own car anymore at pretty much anywhere you'd go.
I wanted to ask you something. If you have, and it's escaping my mind, so forget that. It's escaping me. I'm wanting to ask you something about Los Angeles, and if you've done it yet, and I'm forgetting.
Hiked.
Yeah, well, that's one thing. We all, you hike around, don't you? Listen to me, hike around.
I hike everywhere I go.
Yeah, walk out your door with a carbiner and some rope.
everywhere I go, I have a big ass backpack with a hose into my mouth and two big sticks, and I just hike around. I've gone hiking a few times. You know what? The New Yorker in me hates the fact that I have to drive somewhere to walk.
Yeah.
And I just like, I'd rather walk around my neighborhood because I could just go out my door and never be in my car.
Yeah.
To me, it just always feels stupid to drive somewhere to hike, but I'm getting the hang of, and I see why, like being, it's like a great escapist, like nature type.
But it's also a routine, you know, you just get into your routine and you do.
But also it's beautiful. It just feel, once you're on the hike, it doesn't feel like, oh, I drove here.
No, it's really, really amazing in Los
Angeles. What's your favorite hike spot?
I park at Vermont Canyon. Listen to anybody out there stalking me. I park at Vermont Canyon. And then walk up past the tennis courts that I play at. And I do this loop. It goes all the way up. It goes up to where they shoot the car commercials, where there's always a, you know, Matthew McConaughey is in a car and looking in the rearview mirror.
A professional driver on a closed course.
Yeah, that's right. And that's where they always shoot. And there's like a helicopter pad up there, and they hose it down, make it shiny, and put the car there, and it's right over overlooking Los Angeles.
That's you hike up there.
That's my hike.
You
yeah,
hose
and then
down
up
and a car
around.
And
it's
then
it's
hike
like
back
1 hour, 10 minutes total.
What is it, like 2 miles? No, it's
one mile. No, it's a little more than that. I think it's maybe 4.
Wow.
Maybe 3.5. But I also have there's a bench on it that on the hike, so I stop at the bench, I do my sit-ups, you know, there's a thing.
That's why you are potentially coming upon your prime still.
Yeah.
Because you are living a healthy, full life. You're doing what you want to do, more or less.
Yes.
Less.
But my prime will be making a little more money and selling some of my ideas. I'll tell you what I can't stand is if you watch a TV show and you think, and it's really bad, right? Like particularly game shows. I've been watching a lot of game shows because I have a game show. And sometimes you see one that is so bad. And all I think of is like, I cannot believe that is on the air and my show is not. You know, yeah, so it's
the first thing you learn is you that it's not that, actually, it's not a full meritocracy.
Yeah.
If something's truly good, it'll get through whatever levels it needs to get through. But so much bad stuff.
Oh, man.
Just doesn't make, just makes it all the way through just because of so many other factors that don't even involve in the quality of the product. And then also, so much good shit ends up no one ever seeing for no one's fault, but the system that has been put in place.
There's
in
this so business. Much good stuff out there too. There's a lot of good content.
There's just so much stuff out there. Hey guys, am I right? How much content can there possibly be? I'm talking Netflix, Hulu, Bulu, and Dulu.
The good news is there's room for everybody, man, because everybody wants to be entertained, you know, and at the end of the day, yeah. I am not going to be the hunter and gatherer, but I will paint the pictures on the wall and I will maybe
I feel like eventually I'll just there'll be like an app called like the John Gabris app and it'll cost 80 cents, but like the Damon Wayans Jr. app will cost $4 a month. Mine will cost 80 cents a month and you can have access to everything he's done or everything I've done,
yeah,
depending. And then
you should be like a hologram that just shows up like in the kitchen.
I should, you know, be a kitchen, I mean? Hologram. Like
I get up in the morning and I come out.
I've thought
and you
about
say,
being
hi,
a kid.
Hi, honey. How's it going?
Oh, you want me morning. To be a hologram husband?
Yeah, I would. I love this idea.
Husband.
Yeah, that's right. So come on out to Hollywood hubby. And get your Hollywood husband or hologram husband.
Yeah.
Hi, honey. How's your day? That
I think a lot of women would be terrified if they came into their kitchen and saw me standing there, even as a hologram. I would do that if it paid SAG scale. I'd be
down. Yeah, no kidding. Of course. Who wouldn't?
That's the one thing I'd do is like I'll do like some weird $500 job and it'll be like, okay, well now your body is in every kitchen in America. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah, you know, I know Stephanie Courtney, who is the girl who does the Progressive commercials.
Yeah,
you
Flo.
Know, Flo. Right. And so I remember talking with her like 15 years ago. I mean, when she'd gotten the gig as Flo. And as the years gone by, you know, talking to her, and it just gets more and more incredible. And I'll say, I can't even believe it, Stephanie. Like, I don't even know what to say to you. And she's like, Christine, you can't believe what they have planned. Like, it's going to get bigger.
She's been running in a commercial longer than a lot of TV shows have survived with,
it's
like, narratives.
Stunning. It is stunning.
It works.
You know what else? Who else does that is the people that stand in that cranberry bog.
Oh, yeah.
Those two guys, there's an older guy and a younger guy.
But are they actors or are they
farmers?
They're
actors.
Oh.
And they're standing in a cranberry bog. No, because one of them was my ex-husband's friend or roommate in college.
Oh, that's funny. And then then the Sonic guys, Peter Gross and TJ Jagodowski, or sometimes did it used to be Piscasey? Whatever.
Yeah.
Those old school Chicago improv dudes. They've been doing those Sonic commercials.
Amazing.
For a long time.
Yeah.
And it's funny because like, commercials running longer than a TV show. Like, has Progressive been on longer than The Sopranos was?
Yeah, I think so.
I think Flo has been around longer than The Sopranos,
which is crazy. That is crazy. That is crazy.
That's something crazy to think about. Oh, man. Flo, good on you, sister. Good for you, Stephanie.
Good for you, Courtney. Stephanie.
You're killing it out there, dog.
No kidding.
Killing it out there.
No kidding. That would be, I wonder though, if to talk to Stephanie, and I'd like to have her on my show sometime because I'd like to ask her, are you in your prime? Do you feel like you're in your prime? How does it get better than this? And she probably would say, I'm not allowed to do a lot of stuff. You know what I mean?
Right. She's I don't know. I don't know contracts. Much. I don't know much about what her situation is, but I'm sure there's good and there's bad with it. I'm sure in the first 3 years, the good seemed to outweigh the bad. And in the last couple, the bad seemed to outweigh the good.
I wonder what happens if she's in a car accident. Do they cover her?
They have to.
Do you think?
They better.
You don't know.
Or else that's the ultimate headline.
Wouldn't it be funny if she was a really bad driver?
If you're like a, if you are a Samsung spokesperson, I don't think, like, if you're a celebrity who does Samsung commercials,
yeah,
I don't think they want to see you in the trades with an iPhone.
And that's very true, because when I was a flight attendant, to bring it back to that, I would have like race car drivers on my plane frequently, and they would have to be drinking a Miller Lite or whatever because that was their sponsor.
Yeah.
So certain players, certain people, they had to drink.
Especially
seen
now,
those.
Someone pulls out their camera phone and takes a picture of you drinking a Bud Light and you're a Miller Lite spokesperson. You're fucked, dude.
Who would you want to be a sponsor for if you could be like to get free product or to get any, you know, good product? Who would you want your sponsor to be if it were to translate to free product?
Oh, shit. That's a good question. I got to say, Mac Weldon, who is a sponsor of this podcast, promo code Mighty. They are a wonderful product. I love free underwear.
Yeah.
And
do you have them on right now?
Yeah, I do.
Are they comfortable?
They're very comfortable. Let me see.
I've seen a lot of, a good looking knit. I like that. It's a boxer knit.
That's some good knit, baby.
I like that.
But if I had to pick a...
like, if it was a dream, like sometimes I thought like Ray-Bans, you know, because I would love to have a good pair of sunglasses or a lot of them.
Right. And it's a product that you know you're comfortable advertising. Right.
Then I thought like tennis rackets, you know, but really it gets on the
one
racket.
Mine would be Boar's Head cold cuts.
Yeah. Well, you know it would.
I'd want a free... I want 10 pounds of roast beef delivered to my house every Monday morning.
I don't believe
no,
you.
No, I don't... that's a good question.
Would it be a car like a Tesla or would it be...
Oh, yeah. Ford Bronco. Vintage Ford Broncos. Audi
jets, yeah, right. Yeah,
that's a good question. Oh, I should reach out to them. But honestly, I just want a weed company to sponsor my podcast.
I want
so that I can have free weed.
I want my own strain of weed. I want to have story worthy weed.
Oh.
I think that'd be really good. You sit down, smoke, and tell some stories, man. You know, bring it.
It would have to be a sativa or sativa dominant hybrid.
I think so too. Yeah, for me, it's kind of my wheelhouse. You got your cabinet, and I got a wheelhouse.
Where exactly? Is this wheelhouse full of weed, you say? Wait a minute. When is my prime? I think my prime is about to arrive. I think my prime is about to arrive. I feel good. My life is good. My finances are pretty good. I am kind of doing what I want to. If I'm not doing exactly what I want to do, but what I'm doing is something I never thought I'd be doing, which is really fun and interesting. And
wait, you never thought you'd be an actor?
No, I never thought I'd be doing this much podcasting stuff.
Oh, I see.
And like now I have three different podcasts and I really enjoy it because
so
I like
great.
Talking and I like talking to people. So it all worked out. I just
so
didn't.
Great.
I didn't realize that this was a possibility. You know, when I still don't know what my end game is, what job or what, but I want to experience as much stuff as possible. And I feel like as I have more money and as my taste becomes not more refined, but more specific, I think I'm going to find my prime more and more. You know what I mean? Like having now travel, I know it sounds so bougie, but I never had money until I was in like my early 30s, which was only a couple of years ago. So I never really traveled until then. I never really did stuff that I wanted to do. Now I'm doing more and more stuff that I want to do.
And the more
and I'm by the way, I should explain because I am married into a very successful. My wife is my sugar mama.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's a delight.
You.
I mean,
that's
I do
exciting.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do pretty well for myself, but she does fantastic.
Well,
for
it's
us.
Exciting as you get older to not only get things you want or like, you know, achieve certain goals, if it's whether it's financial or whatever, but it's also exciting to know what you don't want and to not feel guilty about leaving things behind. Like, you know what? I'm never going to be a mountain biker because you know what? I'm not into it. So quit. People don't ask me to mountain bike. I don't want to go.
Right.
Like you get to know.
And even like this little, you tell yourself less lies. Like, yeah, I'm probably going to end up, you know what? Fuck it.
Yeah.
That's not for me. I don't have time for this. I got to bail. I'm not doing
so
that.
There is some good news about getting older. And frankly, you know, everybody's going to have to go through it. So suck it up, you know?
Yeah, well, as they say, the alternative is way worse.
Way worse. But it is exciting. It's an exciting time for you. Very much so, John. I could feel a little buzz off you. Really. It's exciting.
That's
There's
the SFVOG.
Great confidence, though. But seriously, the thing with podcasting is it's... You know, you build it up from nothing and you don't know where it's going to go because any of your shows, any of my shows could be on any of those outlets, Hulu, Netflix, whatever.
Yeah.
Why not?
Or shows will come out on Hulu and be less successful than your podcast is.
You never know.
Well, seriously,
I'm
sure there is shows on Hulu or no dig against Hulu or on any streaming service that get less viewers than listen to Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
of course.
Because Joe Rogan is doing something in podcasting. He's got better ratings than a lot of television.
Well, and it's all over the world.
Right.
You know, it's accessible everywhere.
Yeah.
You see on, I'm sure, on your breakdowns, you know, anywhere you see that different they speak countries. English. Yeah. Well, even if they don't, it seems like podcasts are listened to all over the world. It's exciting.
I hope no people are using High and Mighty to learn to speak English. And then all these people across the world are like, fuck boy. And then like, oh, that was a guess. You know what? I did do an offensive foreigner accent, but I did the second best thing. I was so vague as to what nationality I was even trying to do.
Yeah, he was very vague. I didn't even know if it was a man or... It's just general foreigner,
yes.
Could have a man, woman.
Fuck boy, number one, yes. Fuck boy.
It sounds like a Russian Amish guy, really.
Yeah, I think I'm like, yeah, somewhere in between Czech and Asian with that. Czech-Asian, if you will. Well, speaking of Prime... Tell me a little bit. Let's get into our plugs here, Christine. What are we?
I'll plug. Here's
you got
what
your podcast,
plug.
Storyworthy.
Storyworthy is a great show. Storyworthypodcast.com. Thank you for listening. I have about 510 episodes now, and been doing it over 8 years. And I love storytelling. I love listening to other people's stories, and I'm just naturally curious. So I really love that show. I try to keep it at about 35 minutes a week. Listen to that show.
Yes. And then you have a monthly show here called
Story Smash.
Story Smash.
And that's a game show. It's super fun. You've played it. You've won it. It's just a great show. Simple concept. One wheel. 16 topics.
It's pretty wild watching very good storytellers try to tell very good 1 minute long stories.
People
or 2 minute
spin
long
the
stories.
Wheel. Whatever it lands on, you tell, you tell a 1 minute story on that topic. It is fascinating how much you can learn in 1 minute.
It's a real lesson in brevity.
Yeah.
And then what's this? Surviving the Ride.
Surviving
is your
the Ride
show?
Is my one woman show.
This episode probably is coming out before the 4th and 5th.
Oh,
so
good.
Feel free
so
to plug
oh,
this
good.
As well.
It's on August 4th at the Hyperion.
I'm showing you the flyer like you need the info.
At the Hyperion Theater here in Los Angeles in Silver Lake. So it's called Surviving the Ride. It's at 6:30 at night. It's 45 minutes long.
Check it out. This is your one woman show.
There's
just
draft
about
beer. It's my one woman show. Quickly, you know, I was a flight attendant, like I said, and we talk about that a little bit. But then I went into the Peace Corps, and that was a real life changing event for me.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And then.
And did you think you were in your prime when you were in the Peace Corps?
I did, actually.
Right?
I felt really good. But then, not to give away the ending of my show, but you know, guys, you should come see it anyway. While I was in the Peace Corps, boom, I got ill.
Oh no.
Yes, and had a little bit of cancer.
Just a little, the doctor said a little bit.
Just a little bit. No, a lot, you know, and
a
I
lot
had
of
to
it.
Had to have a kidney removed and go through,
Jesus.
You know, so I got you know, boom, you know, taken
so
out of the Peace Corps.
That's the ride you survived.
The ride, yeah, and then, you know, coming to Los Angeles and I've been here for 20 years and, you know, and just surviving out here and, you know, some years you make a lot of money, some years you don't make a lot of money.
Yeah.
You're up, you're down, you know, life is all about surviving the ride, hanging on. And, you know, it's so at the end of the day, sorry to, you know, bum anybody out, but there's a kind of a good message. You know, I mean, I don't want to be
you
like,
survived.
People are like rolling
good.
Their eyes like boring, but
no, that's
there is.
No one rolls their eyes as boring to someone surviving
well,
cancer.
You'd be
You're
surprised.
Not allowed to.
No, but this isn't a cancer show as it were. It really isn't. But it also is just the idea that, boy, I'll tell you, man, life is short. I play tennis with these guys, like I was saying, that are in their 80s and they look at me and they just think they'd kill to be 52 years old. Do you
yes.
know what I mean?
And then you look at a 32-year-old and...
And I'm like, oh, man, I want to just jump on it, you know?
Guys, as always... Oh, what are you on social media? Story Smash?
At Storyworthy. At Storyworthy.
Storyworthy.
Yeah, that's good enough. Thanks.
At Storyworthy. Check it out. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Check out Action Boys on Patreon for $5 a month. We review action movies every week. And then check out Raised by TV on Stitcher Premium. Promo code TV.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.